This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We've got to recap Thursday night football. Game a little bit more exciting than I guess some people would have thought yesterday. So it sort of came down to the end a little bit. Of course, a preview of the upcoming weekend, of course, in fantasy football as well. A lot of people playing for the championship, Davis. That's probably a good place to start. I know we'll do our fantasy standouts and we'll definitely break down this game as well. But naturally, I was watching this game yesterday and I played Dak Prescott in that game last night and threw one interception and then another interception and then a fumble. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I made the wrong decision. Sort of bailed me out though. And probably bailed you out too in the end with at least 20 fantasy points. But my gosh, like that was nerve wracking watching that for a while. Tennessee is so bad. I mean, how did Dallas even go toe to toe with them there for about three quarters?
I mean, that's like what Dallas does, right? I mean, long storied history. Very, actually, you know what it's like? The Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers would do this all the time. We all have memories of, like, you know, these are 13-3 teams. That team won multiple Super Bowls, but every, you know, they'd play the Ravens with like their ninth string quarterback and it would come down to the final possession. It's just, and you know, Craig, I mean, that's what people love about the NFL. It's not like basketball. It's not like baseball where one game can end up being a definitive sample. But I mean, the big takeaway for me was, look, I liked Malik Willis coming out of Liberty. I really thought and still think maybe he could be something. But Josh Dobbs is going to start next week in that must-start game. He really is. Yep. And not what you want out of your third-round rookie quarterback. And remember, the Titans, what was it, 3 weeks ago, fired their GM? You got to think Mike Vrabel was probably not in on Malik Willis, was probably telling the front office, like, look, man, Tannehill, that's my guy. Let's ride with Tannehill. And kind of got hoisted with Malik Willis on him. And, I mean, Josh Dobbs, no good either. So looking like the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. We'll see. You never know what could happen. I think it's a fair assessment, though, and no particular indictment on Willis in particular, but it's like, you know, Kyle Trask and some of the players who have been drafted as quarterback, second, third round, fourth round in the NFL draft. And at least from what I've seen from Malik Willis, he falls into that, like, below Jordan Love category, way below Trey Lance category, you know, below, you know, Trask, some others too. You know where he falls, Davis? Like in the Will Greer category right now, where
he's better than that because he can move. He's got the tools, I think. And he's still super young. I mean, he's 22 years old.
No, he's got time and maybe more talent than some of those guys, but look, next year we'll find out. But I think you're right. I think Dobbs is gonna play. I think he has to play in the next game for Tennessee. He looks way more comfortable, I would say, in the game. All right, so the Cowboys, let's get to our headlines. The Cowboys win. They knock off the Titans. Titans will play Jacksonville next week. We sort of knew this would happen, and it did. Played out with the spread, played out with the total, very close on both sides. The NBA has suspended 11 players in that Pistons Magic altercation. Also, SMU star quarterback Tanner Mordecai has entered the transfer portal. Looks like he could be potentially headed to Wisconsin. Buddy Hield knocks down the quickest basket in NBA history yesterday. So that was really cool to see, no doubt. But, you know, Davis, no question, the NBA really, you know, I think dropping a pretty big hammer here. 11 players going to be suspended. And so basically, I think what they do is they sort of stagger these, if I'm not mistaken, in the past. Like a couple get at the beginning and then they'll go to the next. But that's going to affect daily fantasy for sure going into next week.
I mean, it is definitely like these two teams are going to have super thinned out rotations. Man, like that the NBA, this is like the number one thing they can't have, right? Malice at the Palace ended up in like all these massive suspensions. That was kind of a really low point for the league, and they've done a lot of image rebuilding since then. I mean, you can't have this, right? You cannot have people sitting courtside like afraid that they're going to end up getting into some sort of melee. And Franz Wagner was like out cold, man. He got cold cocked in the back of his head. It was not a good scene. I believe it was Killian Hayes. I mean, just suspension for that dude. It's like, what are we talking about? Like a year, like six, like, I mean, not a good scene. Not what we, I mean, maybe some people like that. I know people like the fighting in hockey or whatever. Not what I'm tuning into a basketball game for.
Yeah, no, definitely not the case. And your Oklahoma Sooners, I don't know. Did you watch that game yesterday between Florida State? I don't know fantasy ramifications there. But
I watched a little bit of it. Yeah.
Your Jayhawks, like, I think you got two teams. Your Jayhawks and your Sooners may have played the most exciting bowl losses in the bowl season thus far.
I mean, here, I don't know, Craig, I don't know about you, but haven't you just found these bowl games to it's just like very hard to care because
this year more than ever. Yes.
The teams themselves just really don't care. And I've made the decision to sit out this bowl season for betting and for fantasy. And if I'm not, you know, if I'm not in a bowl pool, if I'm not in like a draft, like, no, I'm totally out. Like even Oklahoma, K-State, like I don't care.
Yeah, I got to tell you, now I'll be in on the semifinal games and I'll definitely watch those, but I don't know why. And I'm in a bowl pool as well, and I'm doing okay. I'm not going to win. But this year I've been less engaged than ever before. I think it's probably a combination of baseball's hot stove has been really good. So I've been involved in that. I really think the other thing, Davis, is that with all of the NFL games so staggered over the course of several days, it's taken a lot away from these minuscule bowl games. Hopefully that will change this weekend. All right, coming up next, fantasy standouts from Tennessee and Dallas.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Last night, the Dallas Cowboys really took four quarters to dismantle the Tennessee Titans. Lots of mistakes. Quarterback for the Titans looked semi-capable, I think, in the game yesterday. Josh Dobbs, I think Davis is right. I think he is going to play against the Jaguars next week. That's just the state of affairs with Tennessee. I don't know. Listen, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. I'm not going to rule out Tennessee winning that game at all. I've seen this craziness too much. So let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. For those of you who played some of these players in the championship round, I think you probably got four good performances where you're like, okay, I feel good that I played this player. Now let's move on to the weekend. So let's go through them. So Dak Prescott yesterday, as I mentioned, Davis, big bailout there in the second half. This could have been really, really bad for anyone in a single, and I'm in a dual quarterback league. I'm like, I got to get 20 points out of this or it's a bust. Whew, okay, I got it yesterday. 282 passing yards, also 11 rushing yards, but yeah, those two touchdowns just huge in the second half for him. Ezekiel Elliott, you played him. I mean, you got 10 points. He's like an RB2. You're like not devastated by that, but I mean, I guess you could live with that. CeeDee Lamb, obviously, big game, 21 points. And then Dalton Schultz, throwing him at tight end, you're feeling really good going into the weekend. That was pretty much it. So is that a fair assessment on those four, or maybe you have a different one?
No, I think if you started Zeke, you're pretty bummed out. You're sitting there staring at, what, you know, nine and a half points all weekend long. I mean, how many guys, like, because, you know, there are guys right now who are not going to play that we don't know, right? Because of, like, rest and people, like, these guys have there's, like, a flu going around the NFL. There are multiple guys. So there's going to be There's for sure going to be someone you could have started over Zeke who is going to get better than 10 points. I think that Dak, like, probably fine. I would imagine, like, if he got you there, he didn't kill you. But Dak is also not going to be the reason you win this weekend. You know, it like if you're playing against the Josh Allen team and Josh Allen gets 36, you're going to be like, well, maybe not exactly how I drew this one up. But, I mean, Schultz has got to be the big name. I believe that, I mean, if I offered you odds right now, even money, Dalton Schultz, highest scoring tight end of week 17, you'd probably take him versus the field right now with 7 for 56 and 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, okay, he's got to go against Kelce. He's got to go against Kittle. How much are the Chiefs going to try? Maybe Hawkinson. You know, maybe Hawkinson can end up topping him. But it is kind of one of those things where it's like if you manage to make it to the title game with Dalton Schultz, like you probably are going to be feeling pretty good about where you're sitting right now.
I agree. A lot of points for Schultz for sure. Back end tight end one, but probably a lot of people used him last night for the fantasy championship. So let's go through Tennessee, but this is only probably affecting people who played on Thrive Fantasy last night or Daily Fantasy, because truthfully, you had to be a little crazy to play any of these guys on the Titans, but we'll go through it. So Joshua Dobbs, 232 passing yards, 12 rushing yards, one touchdown, probably 1% started in 12-team championship fantasy leagues, as a guess. Hassan Haskins, who got the bulk of the playing time at running back, did not come through for people who picked him up and started him. 40 rushing yards, 2 receptions. That's not enough. If you were down to Robert Woods and you played him, congrats. He ended up getting about 13 fantasy points. Same with Treylon Burks. 4 receptions, 66 yards, also 20 rushing yards. So I think that more of, Davis, what this looks like with the Titans is a glimpse as to what we could potentially see next week. And I got to tell you, the amount of pressure on the Titans defense next week, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, Derrick Henry literally next week, Davis, could rush for 150 yards. I could see them losing. So, I mean, their defense is really going to be up against it.
Oh, I mean, that's like what happens all the time is Derrick Henry always has these big games and the Titans lose because if you get down 10 points, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't – I just – you know, I like Mike Vrabel. I do. He is like a very like football guy. You know, I get the whole, you know, he's an interesting guy, but it feels like the Titans are sort of like emblematic of a way that people feel about how football used to be played. Like the national media loves the Titans, you know, these guys on TV, they love the Titans because it reminds them of like, you know, Bill Parcells and these teams that it was all about like running the ball and playing good defense and chewing the clock up and being tough and being physical and being aggressive. They were the one seed last year. You know, they won all these games in the regular season and then they get dumped out of the playoffs every single year. They're going to get dumped out by Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne next week. Like and maybe it's unfair to Tannehill. Maybe that's unfair to, I mean, it is kind of unfair to Derrick Henry, who like to me is probably a second or third ballot Hall of Fame running back, assuming he gets another couple years in there. But this team just can't win. You're just simply not going to win with Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Akeem. I mean, giving up on AJ Brown for a first round pick, how stupid do you have to feel watching him basically be the best wide receiver, maybe other than Justin Jefferson, in the whole league? His team has lost one game. They're going to sleepwalk into the playoffs, their first round bye, and it cost them the number 16 pick. I mean, can you like just imagine how dumb they must feel?
Yeah, and the Titans really have done more with less. And Tannehill, when he came over from Miami to Tennessee, immediately Davis gave them a huge upgrade at quarterback. I can't even remember who was the Titans quarterback before Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it just shows you how out of it I am. I can't even remember who it was before that.
Mariota, but, right?
Maybe was it? Was it Marcus Mariota?
Yeah. 2018, Marcus Mariota, 9-7. They went 9-7 for 4 straight seasons with Mariota as their quarterback.
Yeah, so eventually, and look, Tannehill, I think the first 2 years there did a really good job. It's just that eventually it comes to an end, and it did for them yesterday. And again, they're going to be underdogs going into the last game of the season. It's going to be, I still think it's going to be a close game. To just simply rely on what we've seen from Jacksonville the last few weeks. Again, and this is a team that I said that people should take to win the Super Bowl betting because they're just the fact that they're going to get in and you can start hedging. But yeah, I don't know what the future is going to hold there. And with them firing the general manager, we're definitely going to have to see. But no question, they're going to be also another team, Davis, in the quarterback market in the offseason. Tannehill probably a backup, my guess, somewhere else, right?
I mean, Tannehill's probably got to be pretty close to hanging it up at this point. Ryan Tannehill is 34, coming off of back-to-back years where he suffered lower body injuries. So he's got the ankle injury this year. He had a knee injury last year. I don't remember if he missed any time last season. No, he made it through all 17 last season. But he's definitely on the borderline. And if his options are... Because remember, he was kind of a jerk when the team drafted Malik Willis, and he said, it's not my job to mentor this guy. Right. So my guess is if they bring in someone else, if they bring in a younger guy and kind of want him to compete, my guess would be is he's going to be like, all right, guys, I'm out. You either trade me, although, I mean, if he gets traded, is Ryan Tannehill a guaranteed starter if he gets traded based on his performance? I would think probably not. So it's got to be pretty close to the end of the line for him, unless maybe Tennessee just totally throws their hands up and says, we don't like any of these quarterbacks in the draft because they're probably going to be picking 15th-ish, so they probably don't get one. So then they're looking at the free agent market, and maybe they say, you know what? We were the one seed 18 months ago. Let's just run it back. Let's just see what we can do one more year.
Yeah, close your eyes and dream. I'm going to give you where Ryan Tannehill starts next year. I think you're going to. I'm going to give it to you, and I think you're going to see it. You're going to say, "Ah, okay, you're right."
To me.
That's where the Raiders.
Oh, that I mean, that's a match made in heaven, right? That 100%. That is a really good one. That totally makes sense.
When you tweet it later, make sure you give me the credit. All right,
I will.
Coming up next. We got our look at daily fantasy, and one of the last couple of weeks of full slates in fantasy. This is really the last full week, because next week there's going to be a lot of sitting guys, and you can't even play some of these high-priced guys. So we're going to walk through you next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Davis back here with you for those of you getting ready to play the big slate this weekend. This is it, Davis. This is it. Second to last week of the season. Normally, the last week gets really screwy. So there's some opportunities, no question. And we're going to walk through it next week for sure. Playoff schedule is also fun in daily fantasy, no doubt. But to me, this is really the last full slate where you can count on most of the players playing that you put in your lineup this week.
I mean, yeah, you can definitely count on them more than we are going to be counting on them next week, because next week is going to be really bizarre. But there are some pretty questionable motivations. I mean, honestly, actually very similar to the Cowboys last night. They clearly were not in full gear for that entire game. I mean, it did kind of come down to the wire, but you never got the sense that it was sort of in jeopardy. So, we have Carolina and Tampa Bay is a total must-win game for both teams. Arizona, Atlanta does not matter for either team. Denver, Kansas City, like what is Kansas City? I mean, they don't care. And then Jacksonville has this great matchup against Houston, but they don't really care. We saw what the non-caring ramifications were like last night for the Titans. Chicago, Detroit, absolute must win. Washington football team, absolute must win. Giants, absolute must win. Jets Seahawks is basically a playoff game. Neither of those teams could lose that game. The 49ers would like to win, but don't need to win. They're in regardless. They've clinched. Probably the most interesting spot is what do the Chargers do? We talked about this a little bit at the end of the show yesterday, but the Chargers would actually prefer to lose because they would like to play the four seed as opposed to having to face Cincinnati, Kansas City, or Buffalo.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, it should be said that, and I know the Rams played very well last week and obviously was against Denver, but this is like McVay Super Bowl. This is their stadium. So like it's the battle of the two, you know, it was very rare two teams playing against each other that have the home stadium in Los Angeles. And the Rams are playing the Chargers. Chargers 6.5 point favorites in that game. I may go the other side in that one. All right. So let's take a look at some of the pricing on DraftKings today. And we'll start off with quarterback Patrick Mahomes, as Davis mentioned, against Denver. We'll see if Denver gets that coach fired tick up, which usually happens in the NFL. 9,000 is the price on Mahomes. Jalen Hurts, if he plays, I believe it's trending toward that. 8,800, a little bit risky. Clearly, a big lead in that game or anything gets a little screwy, they could pull him for sure. Justin Fields is practicing with Chicago. There has been some rumor that maybe he wouldn't play this week. I guess we'll see. He's 8,400. Lamar Jackson is 8,000. I believe he's out, though, this week. Is he playing this week for the Ravens, or is he out? I think he is out.
We don't have an official declaration as of yet because Harbaugh keeps it so, you know, close in there. But I don't think we are expecting him to play.
Okay, Lawrence 7,800 and Cousins 7,600. Now, the one thing about Jacksonville I do want to mention, Davis, if Jacksonville wins this week and they lose against Tennessee, there is this sub 10% chance that they still would get in if a bunch of things happen. So for me, I fully expect Jacksonville to go full go this week. I mean, if you have even the slightest chance of getting in, even after a loss, I believe they're going to play all their people this week, but we'll see.
Yeah. So basically, and Craig, you are definitely right. So if they get a win against Houston and then they get a loss against Tennessee, they are 9% to make the playoffs, which is not nothing. Right. Right. Now, if you're looking at like sub 1%, the pretty cool tool over on 538, by the way, it's actually very helpful for this type of stuff when you're trying to make fantasy decisions this week. So you can kind of get into the head. But Craig, I actually had not realized that. That's very good advice for the people, because the Jacksonville Jaguars are all really appropriately priced everywhere. I mean, you're seeing right here on our graphic, Trevor Lawrence, very cheap compared to Fields. To Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes probably, you would say, is one of the best plays of the slate. The Chiefs have the highest team total, but I mean, this is really a spot of like, well, how much do the Chiefs value things like having Mahomes have the record for single season passing yards? I think he's like 790-ish yards away or something like that from the all-time record. He's got to throw like 350 yards a game for the next two games. They have this total walkover game here. And they're going to be playing the zombie Raiders next week. Now, if I got to go and you know, have a sit down meeting with Andy Reid where he couldn't lie to me, and I said, "Do you guys care about Mahomes winning MVP and having the all time record?" and he told me yes, I mean, I probably wouldn't play any quarterback but Mahomes this week, because they are going to just sleep. I mean, they are going to sleepwalk over Denver and the Raiders the next 2 weeks. But all that being said, I think Hurts seems like the best to me, because the Eagles do need to win here. The Cowboys won last night. The Eagles cannot lose either the next 2 weeks, or they're going to lose the one seed. And I mean, Hurts, I don't think is going to be all that played, because we're sitting here on Friday afternoon, and kind of the way these things go is if someone is not on your mind all week, if they're not part of your process, it's harder to like adjust that from a later period. So I really like Hurts against the Saints.
Yeah, I think also back to Jacksonville, I think the Raiders last year had a just slightly above chance, like Jacksonville.
Very similar.
Yeah, and that ended up happening. So I think you're right. I think you have to look at that as a positive for them that they're going to play it out. Now, what happens if they're up big in the fourth quarter? Now, that's a different story. I think everybody comes out at that point. But interesting note for this weekend. Houston playing okay, too. So you never know. Maybe the game will be close. All right, at running back, Christian McCaffrey, once he got to San Francisco, has reestablished himself as the easiest play in fantasy football. He's at 9,500. He's been good every single week with the 49ers. Saquon Barkley fading down the stretch here. Maybe he's got one shot left, 9,200. Josh Jacobs, probably you could say the same thing. He is at 8,500 for the Raiders. Who knows what they're going to look like this week. Dalvin Cook, modestly priced, 8,300. James Conner, usually due for a lot of volume and a goal line carry at 8,000. And boy, Nick Chubb, Davis, has really fallen back over the last few weeks. He's down to 7,800 this week. He was over 8,500 about a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, would not be playing Nick Chubb this week. The This version of the Browns, I mean, they'll probably figure it out, but I don't know. Just like the combination of how uninspiring their product has been on the field, knowing like the surrounding situation with Deshaun Watson, just like probably my least favorite team to see come across the screen on Red Zone. It's pretty brutal. Connor, I mean, it doesn't matter who's a quarterback. Could be McSorley, could be McCoy, could be Kyler. I mean, Craig, they could have me, you, and the grocery bagger out there, and I think James Connor would find a way to catch six passes and score a touchdown. He seems pretty strong. Dalvin seems really strong. McCaffrey, I mean, he is absolutely unbelievable. And the cost of a second-round pick for the 49ers, you got to think they're probably feeling pretty smug about this one. I think they feel like they got a good deal. And honestly, they probably did, because Christian McCaffrey is unbelievable. Ramondre Stevenson burnt a bunch of people last week, but is kind of looking like the play of the week this week. Damian Harris looking like he's not going to play. The Patriots are favored against the Dolphins, who have Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, and their season is, you know, hanging in the balance. So you got to feel pretty strong about Ramondre Stevenson here.
All right, let's move over to wide receiver. We've got Justin Jefferson, a big matchup against the Packers this week. He's priced at 9,200. Tyreek Hill, very interesting Dolphin pricing this week, 9,000. Tyreek Hill told the media feels really bad for Tua, and then like was like, I don't care who's at quarterback, I'm going to have a big game. All right, so we'll see. 9,000. Davante Adams, I don't know how you could play him this week. He's 8,500, so that's probably a pass. We also have A.J. Brown this week for Philadelphia. Seems to be quarterback proof as well. He's 8,400. DeAndre Hopkins, 8,100. Devonta Smith, who's come on late in the season, at 7,800. And so, look, I mean, Tyreek Hill, new quarterback, Davis. Davante Adams, new quarterback last week. A.J. Brown, new quarterback this week. DeAndre Hopkins, new quarterback. Everybody is like, I mean, who's quarterback proof, I guess, this week?
I mean, not Davante Adams. I think Tyreek and Jalen Waddle for the Miami Dolphins are quarterback proof, though. I mean, both of them have already had huge games with Teddy in at quarterback. One Teddy start and one Teddy relief appearance. Tyreek had 14 receptions in one of Teddy's games, and Waddle had a 140-yard game in the other. So feeling really good about both of those guys. And Greg Dortch for our cheap guy this week, assuming he's able to get in there on the slot for Arizona.
All right, let's go over to the tight end position. And wouldn't you know, George Kittle sort of creeping up here a little bit on the pricing with Travis Kelce. Kelce, of course, the top guy at 8,300. Kittle at 7,400. TJ Hockenson, 7,000. Taysom Hill, I mean, explain that one to me last week. Doesn't carry the ball or throw it in the first quarter. Zero. And all of a sudden, he's like the player of the game. The rest of the game, I mean, did somebody make a call on that one? 6,800. Andrews, you can't play him anymore. 6,300. And then Goddard is 6,000, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom feels like the guy this week. Hockenson, really good. I think that Green Bay Minnesota game has a lot of potential to be one of our strongest fantasy games. So Hockenson is going to be my guy tight end this week.
How do you explain that Taysom Hill thing last week? I mean, not part at all of the first quarter. All of a sudden, the second quarter, they start giving him the ball. I mean,
the Saints are like the weirdest team in the NFL. Like they are so bizarre. I don't really get anything they do, to be honest.
No, definitely falling apart down the stretch. Big win though. Let's give them credit. Big win last week at Cleveland in that terrible weather. All right, fantasy reality coming up next, and then the Sports Grid 60. So stay with us here on the grid. We got plenty more to come. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We're Davis and I getting ready to close out our pick segment of the season. Now, truth be told, we both got off to good starts. One of us went completely the other way, and that person was not me. So I've had a good year picking the games, just one against the spread. Davis started off good. Still a chance, Davis, for you to finish 500 or above. 2 weeks left, one game under. So you got to win this week in order to be above 500 with our picks for the end of the year. So who do you got this week?
All right. I mean, to me, I think Seattle at home should be your standard 2.5 point favorite at home. You know, all due respect to Mike White, all due respect to the New York Jets defense. Like, the Seahawks defense isn't very strong, but their passing offense has been fairly efficient. And I don't know. It seems to me, it seems like the market saw Zach Wilson and how bad he was and was like, well, any quarterback's got to be like 4 points better than that. So I got Seattle at home. Tyler Lockett should be back this week, practiced in full yesterday. Kenneth Walker, you know, I am a Geno believer, and I will be going down with the ship as a 1.5 point home dog.
All right. I'm actually, for the first time since we've been doing this, I'm going to go with a total. No, I'm going to go with a total.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with a total. Yeah, so the last 15 years, I've watched this game, and it always ends the same. 10-7, 14-10, 17-14, 9-6, 6-3. I mean, I don't know. You don't know which game I'm talking about here? I don't know. It feels like the easiest pick to me on the board all week long. Ravens-Steelers. The game's going to be decided by 3 points. Each team is going to score one touchdown, and this is going to go under 34.5. I don't know. It just feels, I mean, is there going to be four touchdowns in this game, Davis? I don't think so. You know, Pittsburgh barely scores.
Kenny Pickett versus Tyler Huntley? No, come on. What are we doing here?
I mean, I don't even know. Honestly, like, this total should be 31 or 30 or 29. I mean, the only thing that hurts a little bit in this one for me to go under on a total with Baltimore is that the kicker never misses. So he could kick 8 field goals, you know. I mean, I guess that is possible. So I'm going to go under 34.5. I believe we picked 13 times. I think I'm 8-5, and you're 6-7, I think, is our record. But anyway, one game each week. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. No picking during the playoffs, though. We'll stop at the end of the regular season. Playoffs, I have no idea what's going to happen. All right, time for us to hit some fantasy or reality. All right, speaking of favorite, we've seen some line movement in a game this week. The Packers opened up as 3-point favorites against the Minnesota Vikings at home at Lambeau Field. Davis, that line is now 3.5 on FanDuel and everywhere else. So, naturally, not a lot of faith in the Minnesota Vikings. I guess you could say the 2021 Minnesota Vikings were the unluckiest team in the NFL, and the 2022 Vikings have been the luckiest team in the NFL. But again, wins are wins, and that's just the way it works. Fantasy or reality, the Packers will beat the Vikings on Sunday, irrespective of the spread. The Packers just win the game, Davis. Fantasy or reality?
Look, I have seen what I need to see with the Minnesota Vikings. Team of destiny, man. You do not go undefeated in one-score games and have the ball bounce your way. I mean, how many times this season have the Vikings been, you know, like just in the jaws of defeat and just wriggled their way out? I mean, 33-0 at half against the Colts. Like, yeah. I just no chance am I betting against this team. And I mean, that goes for the playoffs too. I think the Cowboys are way better. I think the Eagles are way better than the Vikings, and the 49ers are probably better than the Vikings too. But, you know, I'm doing all these playoff fantasy football contests, and I'm just loading up on Dalvin Cook, loading up on Justin Jefferson and Kirk and TJ Hawkinson. Cause this is, and obviously like this, is not my opinion very often. Normally I'm my nose is pretty firm in the data, but I'm not fighting against this, Craig. Like, with sometimes the universe just tells you a team is destined to play above its skis. The Minnesota Vikings are beating the Packers, who, by the way, I mean, if the Dolphins correctly diagnosed Tua's concussion last week and put Teddy in, we're not even talking about this, because I think the Packers would have been eliminated with a loss last week.
I agree. Big, big mistake, I think, taking the Packers this week. I'm on board with you. I got a fantasy. I mean, all you had to do was watch the fourth quarter of that game to understand. I mean, how rare is it that a quarterback is going to throw 3 interceptions in a quarter and lose a game outright? And remember what the Packers did at the end of that game? Third and goal, Davis. I think they ran the ball up the middle and then kicked a field goal to be up 6.
I agree. I think they should have lost that game. And how? And they're laying 3.5 against Minnesota in this one. This is an even game. The point spread should be Green Bay -1 or 1.5 maximum. So I would take Minnesota against the spread. I would take Minnesota straight up. I think they're going to win. I don't think they're going far in the playoffs, but between these two teams, I think that they are the better team. And I'm going to take the Vikings here. All right, we got the college football playoff coming up. I believe this is tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. We've got Michigan taking on TCU. We've got Ohio State taking on Georgia. Michigan are favorites, 7.5. Ohio State underdog, 6.5. The Wolverines and Buckeyes both win, Davis, and meet in the national championship, fantasy or reality.
I mean, you got to say that, like, the odds of that are fairly thin. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say no, because Georgia is the best team. Georgia is so dominant on defense. Like, the crazy thing about Georgia is that you would assume that an SEC team would be able to, you know, run the air out of the ball, probably have a quarterback who's going to get drafted to some degree. And Georgia can run the ball. It's not as if they can't score on offense at all. But you don't look at Georgia and go, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they can score 40 on you. Like, they probably can't score 40 on Ohio State. But good luck to C.J. Stroud. Good luck to, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. And maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba will play in this game. I think he already opted out. He already opted out. He just said he's shutting it down for the year with his hamstring injury. I guess I would say, to me, Michigan is 7.5. I mean, I really like that number. God bless TCU, but they're sort of the Vikings of college football, in which they just had every bounce of the oblong leather ball go their way, playing way above their skis. So I mean, it's very boring, Craig. You know me. I love the favorites, but I got Michigan and Georgia going through.
You know, I think you could do that in college. It's the pros that's more dangerous. But so, you know, Michigan is actually really good. You know, the Wolverines are really good. You got to give them credit. They do open up the ball more with their quarterback, McNamara. They've been throwing down the field more. The line is sort of dragging you to take TCU because of that hook, 7.5. I don't think that's the right side there. And in the end, I do think Michigan is going to win. I'm a little worried based on a track record, Davis, the last few years. Teams in the college football playoff, Notre Dame sneaks in, they get blown out. Michigan snuck in, they get blown out. Cincinnati sneaks in last year, they get blown out. I'm kind of with you there. I think TCU's in trouble. I think Ohio State is going to cover against Georgia. I think this is going to be a good game of the two, but I don't think Ohio State is going to win. But I would be tempted to take the points there, because they got to be feeling really good getting into this thing when they didn't have to be there. College teams, kids playing with house money. I could see the game being close. So I probably will take the points with Ohio State. But no, this is not happening. Fantasy. Michigan and Ohio State are both not winning in this one and creating this dynamic that only a third of the country is going to be interested in watching. So I'm going to go against it. Okay, finally, yesterday, it was Ted Danson's birthday. And Davis, one of really the great sitcom actors, I would say, of the last 30, 40 years. He's been in a million different shows, by the way, including now Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, you name a show in the last 10 years, he's flipped around and done a lot of different things. But in the 1980s, the highest rated show on television was on NBC. And NBC always, Davis, had that Thursday night thing going for a long time, from Cheers to Seinfeld and beyond. Now, I don't even know if it's a thing anymore. I couldn't even tell you. But Sam Malone was the lead character, played by Ted Danson. Sam Malone, fantasy reality, Davis, most famous character sitcom actor of the 80s. There's some good choices here. I'll go through a few, but let's start with Sam Malone.
So if we're just going the 80s, so Cheers, and obviously I have to do all of this via like osmosis and, sure, you know, listening to stuff on podcasts or whatever, because I was not around then. But the way I understand it was that Cheers was like Friends times Breaking Bad times The Wire or whatever. I mean, I believe that Cheers, the Cheers series finale still holds the record for the most watched non-sports programming ever. So yeah, I mean, I think this has got to be a reality. I can't even think of 80s people who would rival it. Now, I would say, like, if you extend this out, because at first I just was reading through a rundown, I was like, well, he's not the most famous sitcom character ever, because I think Michael Scott is probably the most. Would you, Michael? He's got to be close. Maybe Seinfeld, honestly. Like, maybe just Seinfeld or George Costanza. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I got reality on this. I mean, Cheers was like the cultural touchstone of all time in the 80s.
Yeah, the only rival to this, ironically, is somebody that's like persona non grata anymore, Davis, who we don't talk about, and
oh, you know, Bill Cosby, yeah.
Yes, Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show, Davis. You know, along with Cheers, was indeed very, very popular, and so he would give him competition. But I'm going to say reality here, and I would say that as far as like sitcom actors or just general television actors, Davis, I think that Ted Danson is up there with everyone. I do. I think he is up there as far as popularity, because he's just been so versatile and he's done so many different roles. He's probably best known for Sam Malone. But the other thing that I would say about this show, Davis, this is, if you said to me, hey, Craig, give me one show from your past that I should go back and watch from the beginning to the end, Davis, this would be it, man. I think that you would enjoy the show. Like, you really, the storylines in general don't carry over that often over the course of seasons. There's a few things within the seasons that tie, like to be continued. But in general, there's so many offbeat episodes of this. I think, to me, Cheers is ahead of The Office. Like, I think this is probably one of my favorite shows of all time. I would recommend it.
I've watched Cheers. I'm familiar with it. You're right. I mean, the great thing about it was that it was so episodic. Like, you didn't need, like, there were, yeah, you know, Sam and Diane, and like they would get the, sure, they'd get Kirstie Alley came in, and there would be new characters every once in a while. But yeah, I mean, Cheers, it's incredibly good, like comfort food television, 100%.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson started on there. And the best thing about that show, the jokes were quick. All one-line jokes. You know, this, somebody says something, somebody says something else, and then there's a joke. And then it was like the end of the story. So, very well-written show. Okay, we will be right back to wrap things up here on this Friday before the new year goes away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As we wrap things up, this is our final show of 2022, as we move to Mondays, 2023. Here's Davis with the final Sports Grid 60 of the year.
Well, you know, Craig, we are sort of at that time of the year where we're maybe a little sick of watching football. Not of watching football, but definitely of watching bad football. But we are also, I mean, we are 11 days away from our lives really changing, which is no more Sunday slates. Like, we'll have football on, but no more fantasy football to worry about. No more, you know, 10-game NFL DFS slates. So just if you find yourself watching, you know, Rams Chargers this weekend and Baker Mayfield is handing off to Ronnie Rivers and you're like, man, this is the bottom of the barrel. Just remember what you would do in March to see Baker Mayfield hand the ball off to Ronnie Rivers, because it is about to be cold and dark out there for a little while.
Yeah, I was on the phone with Greg Sussman an hour before the show, asking about March Madness and asking about what's to come here. And, you know, certainly as we wrap up the show and wrap up the year of shows, another fun year, I think, here at Fantasy Sports Today. It's been awesome hosting again here with Davis this year. Awesome working here at Sports Grid. Added another show to my plate this year. We cut FST down to 1 hour. I'm hosting a show every day at 2 o'clock Eastern on Newswire, but super thankful for all of our team here at FST and everyone at Sports Grid here for 2022. So again, thanks to our great producers, as always here. Also our great graphics department. Many thanks to all of them. To Greg Sussman, Cardano, Lou Mayone, Jordan, Jeremy, everyone else here at Sports Grid. For Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. Make sure you have a great new year and be safe. And we'll see you back here Monday morning as we get ready for the final week of the fantasy football season. So until then, enjoy yourself. Be safe. Happy holidays. See you Monday.